Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 63 of the Let's Talk Yoga podcast. I know there are a whole new load of listeners who have just discovered this podcast. And I wanted to take a quick moment to say hi and welcome to the Let's Talk Yoga community. I created this podcast 1.5 years ago because I was just so frustrated with how Indian immigrant yoga teachers like me were often left out of mainstream Western yoga conversations, platforms, opportunities, etc. And more importantly, I wanted to shine the light back on yoga itself and not necessarily get caught up in this whole yoga celebrity thing of the West, where it's more about You know, yoga has become more about the people than the yoga itself. And I knew there were people like you on the other side of this microphone, people who were looking for clarity and conversations like this and guests that we have on the podcast. So just thought I'd take a moment to welcome all the new listeners and also to say hi to all of you who come week after week to listen to this podcast. And if I'm being really honest with you, creating this podcast meant putting myself out there, and that didn't come easy. I'm an introvert. I like being left alone. I like being by myself. And I've invested a lot of time into research and development of this show, trying to scope out guests who can really help you feel more deeply connected to yoga, guests who bring you clarity and confidence in your own yoga journey. But I need a favor from you, and I really need you to do this sooner than later. There are thousands and thousands of you listening to this show right now. Can you please spare a moment to leave me a review, right? And don't be like me where I've said, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it after I listen to this episode, because honestly, I just never get to it. So what will really help is help us set the Let's Talk Yoga podcast apart from all other podcasts out there, yoga podcasts out there, is if you can leave us a review, okay? It helps tell the podcast algorithm and the podcast gods out there that this conversation is valuable for yoga teachers. And when you leave reviews, it just helps someone like you discover this podcast, right? And there are everyday people just like you trying to find clarity and confidence and conversations like this and to move the needle in their own yoga practice. So if you believe that this podcast in some way, shape or form has helped you deepen your connection with yoga, it's brought you clarity, it's introduced you to a guest who's really made a difference in your life, then please take a moment, open your podcast app, especially if you're on an iPhone, scroll down to the bottom of the podcast page, and right under the ratings and review, you'll see a tiny purple box with a little pen icon. Just click on that and hit the words, write a review. I mean, you'll see it right next to that pen icon. There's write a review. Can you please do that now? Maybe you want to pause it and then quickly write a review. It'll take you less than 30 seconds. Apple's really simplified leaving a review, and it'll really help me. It'll help all the listeners of the show, and it'll definitely help those who are looking for this kind of content, right? So anyway, just wanted to quickly ask you that right at the top of the show. As always, I appreciate your support. I appreciate you being here. Welcome to the Let's Talk Yoga community. Let's start today's show. Hi, my name is Arundhati, and you're listening to the Let's Talk Yoga podcast. I'm an ex-Bollywood dancer turned yoga and wellness educator. I've built a six-figure business as an immigrant, woman of color yoga teacher with no business background, no handstands, pure instinct, and the free information found on Google. If you love doing yoga and you dream of teaching it someday, this podcast is for you. We go over everything from doing and teaching yoga to scaling a small business, living a modern yoga lifestyle, and so much more. You'll find interesting, fun, raw conversations along with some tips, tricks, strategies, and insights in this podcast. So grab your cup of chai and let's jump in. For the show today, I want to bring up a very important topic. It's something that you as yoga seekers, students, and teachers should be doing every single day. And that's verifying the credibility of your yoga teachers in modern yoga. Now, you might be wondering, why is this so important? Honestly, if we met a couple of decades ago, this conversation wouldn't be happening. But here we are at the end of 2021, and this conversation is just way overdue because you've never been more exposed to yoga or yoga teachers, correct? Especially if you're active online and in the world of social media, you're probably bombarded with yoga content every single day. When I was new to Instagram many years ago, I also happened to be a brand new yoga teacher. And I was also a new immigrant. I had just moved out of India and landed in Seattle. And the whole algorithm and Instagram and social media, it fed into my insecurity and anxiety just effortlessly. And I thought, I've been in that trap too, where I thought that you needed to have more followers to be credible. The more popular yoga teachers really knew what they were talking about. And a way to make it was to stay on trend and to speak about what's happening in the latest news cycle. But thankfully, and I think the gratitude should go to my teachers who taught me yoga really well, I quickly realized that this wasn't yoga and it wasn't authentic to who I was. Has anyone ever told you that your yoga is sacred? We often think that the yoga mat and any practices we indulge in, that's the sacred part of yoga. It truly is. But today you need to extend that boundary into your online world as well. Okay, because a lot of us consume yoga online, right? Even this podcast is coming to you through that medium. So the question I'm asking you here is, who are you allowing into your yoga world? Have you ever wondered or considered creating some sort of a filter? And that's why I'm bringing you today's episode, to bring you clarity on how to verify your yoga teachers out there, especially online and in the world of Instagram and marketing and TikTok. I think this conversation's going to be significant and it needs to be had more often than not. Okay. And I've divided this conversation into two parts. First is a list of questions you ask yourself before you engage with a yoga teacher. And then a second part is questions to ask your potential yoga teacher. And don't worry if you can't make a list. I know a lot of you listen to this podcast when you're on a walk or you're walking your dog or doing your dishes. Just head to letstalk.yoga/listen and you can find all these questions listed in the show notes as well. So here is the first part. So here are the top five questions you have to ask yourself before engaging with an online or Instagram famous yoga teacher. So question one. How did they become Instagram famous, or why did they become Instagram famous, and how quickly did they become Instagram famous? That's all kind of one question, okay? Now, not all yoga teachers out there on the gram are actually teaching yoga, okay? I want you to hear that again. Not all yoga teachers out there are actually teaching yoga. Okay. A lot of yoga teachers use the word yoga because it is highly sellable, it's marketable, it's trendy, it's always cool, and it's on point. At least that's the Western impression of yoga, right? Let me give you an example. Okay. And I'm giving you this example with absolutely no malice. Okay. It's just an observation. You probably have seen Rachel Braithen, aka Yoga Girl, on Instagram. She has the highest number of followers that any yoga teacher has. And I think it stands at like 2 million when I last checked. But if you look more closely, her claim to fame was largely handstands in beautiful beaches and beautiful, gorgeous sunrises and sunsets. And I also think that being a white privileged woman made this rise more possible. She was supported by a community that largely was just like her. She also started using the Instagram platform when the platform was brand new. So she got a head start. And this is something that you'll hear her say herself. And today, she's built an entire empire with her brand Yoga Girl. And I'm doing that with air quotes. But if you listen closely and look closely to the conversations, the podcasts, the posts, they're hardly about yoga. And yet she continues to leverage the word yoga for all things and ends up creating courses and products and I don't know what else with the Yoga Girl label. But honestly, if you really, really take a pause and look at it, it's not yoga. It's all this new age spirituality, feel good stuff that's often confused to be yoga. Now, this is in no way a personal judgment about her. I am sure she's probably an amazing human being. But merely an observation as an Indian woman watching this from afar. And I would think more so in 2021, it's time to re-examine the impact of calling yourself yoga girl or whatever else yoga you've added into your title if your content is not 100% yoga. And if you consider yourself a leader in the yoga world, then you also have a certain responsibility and accountability to yourself and the people you lead. But the power of a white woman doing yoga in an online world is probably unparalleled and pun intended, because I've heard stories on her podcast about how a certain Indian woman who was trying to bring up a topic about just capitalization that happens on her platform was attacked by her whole community. And I don't remember the whole story. Rather, I remember it. I'm not going to spend time going into it right here. And how that was just like, oh, so sad, so sad. I wish I had done something. And it's left hanging. Okay. So what I want you to know is that not all yoga teachers out there who use the word yoga are actually teaching yoga. Okay. And it is for you to discern, are you consuming new age spirituality, feel good stuff in the name of yoga, or is it actually yoga? Okay. So that's the first question. How did your yoga teacher become Instagram famous? What are they really known for? The next question is the most important question, okay? And if you are multitasking, come back to me, Kim. And if you listen to this and turn this podcast off, I think it'll be worth your time. The question is your yoga teacher largely known for just one thing or one niche alone? And do they call this one thing yoga? Okay, I'm going to say that again. Is your yoga teacher largely known for just one thing or one niche alone? And do they call this one thing yoga? Okay, this is the most important question on this list. Because if you consume yoga actively on social media or even on some of these yoga subscription platforms, you would have seen yoga teachers say, yoga is this, yoga is that. Let me give you examples here. For example, yoga is political, yoga is climate change, yoga is social justice, yoga is farmers' rights, yoga is women's rights, yoga is this and yoga is that. While I 100% believe that each of these causes are extremely important and need to be brought up, and we need to make sure we use our voices for this, we have to realize that yoga cannot be labeled as anything else but yoga itself. Why? Because it's a cultural practice. It's a living, breathing tradition to millions of people like me. If you step out of this North American bubble of yoga, you'll see that in India or other parts of Asia, this movement to relabel and redefine yoga won't stand for a single second. It's because we're letting opportunistic, hungry yoga teachers who know just how to be really loud and controversial and use the algorithms to influence our thinking. Okay, I'll tell you a story here. Last year, pretty new Indian origin yoga teacher who's born and raised here in America reached out to me, and she wanted to understand just what did I do differently and how did I grow my career, and just wanted to get a little bit of conversation going. And she told me that the advice she actually got from some other yoga teachers was to take a stance on something. The way to grow on social media was to actually take a stance and to be known for something that people feel strongly about, something that's current. But this entire thought process is actually deeply harmful to yoga, right? Remember, we all gasped, or at least I hope you did, when we saw the birth of like goat yoga and beer yoga and wine yoga and face yoga and what else. But to me, all these new versions of yoga, yoga is this and yoga is that, isn't very different from goat yoga. Right? The only difference now is that you have social media who is pushing the content that stirs anger and division and controversy. Goat yoga and beer yoga didn't have that power. You probably just rolled your eyes and laughed or felt angry for a moment, and that's it. There was a comical element to it. But it didn't have the same necessary frustration and divisiveness nature that social media now celebrates. So what am I trying to really say? verify your yoga teachers by asking yourself this question. Are they only pushing a label like yoga is this and yoga is that? Okay, you fill in the blanks with whatever you've seen. I can make a list of 10 different things that I've seen right here, right? But why are we feeling the need to tweak yoga to make their point, right? It is because a lot of these yoga teachers can only stand out if they lean on something that is trendy or political or happening right now. The truth is, you should be able to stand with your yoga alone. Okay, and just your yoga. And your yoga is perfect in its own way. So constantly trying to bounce from one trend to the other. I guarantee you the same teachers next year and the year after and the year beyond will keep bouncing from trend to trend because fundamentally their yoga is probably lacking. Right? There's also another set of people who, especially in the yoga business realm, who will try to apply yoga specifically in a way that they can really use to sell their courses and other things. I'll give you an example. I know a yoga teacher who took the summer off to study the Yoga Sutras. And anyone will tell you this. You cannot time the study of the Yoga Sutras. You can start studying them, but there's really no end to understanding and applying the sutras. However, if you open a yoga book, Yoga Sutras of Patanjali book with this predetermined agenda of, I'm going to find everything in here that I can apply to this course or social media post or teaching that will make me sound more credible, you totally will find something to slap on and say, Patanjali said this. Okay. So as consumers, we need to be smarter in catching this. I know this is a long point, but it's important. Okay. So is your yoga teacher known only for one thing or one niche? Are they specifically, desperately, loudly trying to say yoga is this and yoga is that, and you have to stand up for this because this is yoga? Remember that yoga can be applied to anything in life. Okay. Yoga can be applied to anything in life, but that doesn't make it all of yoga. Okay. And in fact, saying yoga is this and yoga is that is an act of appropriation, no matter who does it. Okay. So just remember that. It's really important. It hits a nerve for me. And I think we need to be having these conversations more in the open. So, question number three to ask yourself is, do they ever mention their yoga teachers? Do they ever mention their yoga teachers? While in Western yoga, the popular thinking is you can learn yoga by yourself. The truth is, yoga was always meant to be learned under the guidance of a master or a guru. Because first and foremost, yoga is a cultural practice, right? I just said that a moment ago. And that includes, studying yoga includes how it was meant to be taught and how it was supposed to be learned. Though this is often dismissed in modern yoga, I would argue that it is dismissed by people who do not have the interest or the time to really honor the traditional aspects of yoga, or are just so privileged that they can do whatever they want with yoga and not fear any consequences. Also, all yogic teachings are not in English and often require some amount of decoding or indulging in a particular teaching methodology. It's not just about opening a book and trying to figure it out. Okay, so not everybody is capable of understanding yoga without the help of a teacher. You most certainly can come up with some interpretation of what you think yoga is, but is that necessarily correct? A good way of verifying your Instagram famous teacher is to look at two things. How often do they mention their teachers? What do they mention about them? Do they tell you stories of what they've learned from their teachers, or aha moments, or moments of failure where the teacher actually compassionately stepped in and helped them out? If you've heard this podcast for a while, you've often heard me tell you stories about my time with my teachers, where moments where I was ignorant, moments where I learned something really valuable, and just lessons of being in the presence of these masters. Now, you might be thinking, but the whole power dynamic, right? And hence, this whole Guru-Shishya Parampara, the teacher-disciple tradition, is a bad thing. This isn't about power, not in one bit, Okay. For every person who's been canceled or called out, there are hundreds of amazing yoga teachers that aren't spoken about. But it comes down to yoga being a cultural way of learning, right? We cannot cut that out of modern yoga and learning yoga in modern day. You need a teacher, a skillful teacher, to regulate your knowledge. And you'll need different teachers at different points in time. There are parts of yoga that can probably be self-understood, okay, and if you've been initiated into yoga. And there are also insights from your practice. But when you look for your teacher's teacher, you want to check this. Are they fellow contemporary teachers who echo the same modern day messaging? How long have they studied with their teachers? The teachers that they've actually studied with, are they hierarchically, are they ahead of your Instagram famous teacher's journey? Right? A lot of times I've noticed modern yoga teachers on Instagram, they just surround themselves in an echo chamber of people who only agree with them. Okay. But a yoga teacher, a real yoga teacher, will surround themselves with all sorts of people, people who agree with them, people who disagree with them, because their ego isn't threatened. Okay. And they don't need to surround themselves in echo chambers where everybody just thinks like them and propagates the same thing. It's because we've confused capitalism so much in the modern yoga world, and we think our careers define us, that yoga is getting harmed, and people who are sincerely seeking yoga also get harmed. Okay. You want to notice, do they ever give credit to their teachers? And for me personally, culturally, if a teacher does not honor his or her teacher, okay, to me that's a red flag. Okay. And I can give you tons of stories about this, but I think I've made my point and I will move to my fourth question. Okay. So my fourth question is a quick one. Are they using the algorithm or the latest happenings or latest festivals to so-called educate you? And I'm doing educate in air quotes. If they knew this before, why didn't they tell you sooner? Right? You already know the social media algorithm feeds into controversial content. I don't think I need to explain that anymore to any of you. If you've been following news about the Facebook whistleblower, you know this is a fact. If you share a client testimonial and how someone enjoyed your yoga teaching, it won't make a dent on Instagram. But if you share something that has undertones of like anger, frustration, division, hurt, pain, or any strong negative emotion, you'll instantly get way more traffic and response for it. So that's kind of become the tone of the yoga world, sadly, online at least. And what's worse is you can dance yourself silly in these Instagram reels and point randomly in the air and add yoga content. And Instagram will push it to thousands and thousands of other yoga folks without verification, right? Now, when you see somebody who has 100,000 followers on Instagram claiming to know yoga and you're a new yoga teacher or even a seasoned one, you probably will start believing them. So you have to really be solid in your yoga understanding to be able to discern this, right? And a good way of recognizing this is, or verifying this, is notice if your yoga teacher constantly talks about the latest things in the news cycle, right? And it could be from anywhere in the globe. It's no longer about things that happen in your own community, but it could literally be from anywhere in the globe. And then we have people who are, because it's trending and because Instagram and other algorithms, they're trying to push this content, they leverage off of this, okay? And it happens with festivals, it happens with political things, it just happens more often than not. So they'll often tell you what's wrong with that thing and what is the so-called, again, air quotes, yogic way of thinking, behaving, and undoing, okay? The truth is, they probably are just really, really good at using the medium. Okay. That brings me to my final question. Are you following a yoga teacher or someone who's really just good at marketing? I'm going to say that again. Are you following a yoga teacher or someone who's just very good at marketing? Sadly, this is a question you've got to ask yourself. Often, in fact, in today's digital age of yoga and social media, are you following a teacher who really upholds yogic teachings and who's rooted in yoga, or someone who's just really good at marketing and manipulating the algorithm and making yoga look cool and modern for these times, the chances are that most current on-trend yoga teachers are just better at marketing than yoga. A master of yoga will tell you this. Okay. A master will tell you to work on your insecurities first instead of putting yoga in harm's way. A master of yoga will tell you to give up your constant nature of having to cheat your way through yoga. Okay. Remember, yoga is a living, breathing tradition. It needs no changes. It doesn't need your help. It doesn't need my help. So chances are, if you've grown up here in North America or just honestly outside parts of Asia, chances are that irrespective of your family and cultural history, you're bound to be influenced by Western yoga thinking. You may not even realize it, but there are biases that are inbuilt. And not sure if it's true, just look around your yoga world right now. Chances are that those who are ahead, and ahead again with air quotes, or with opportunities and platforms and voices, are probably white or part white and raised in the US, UK, or Canada. Okay. And it's just this bubble that we've created, sadly. Okay. So those are the five questions to ask yourself before you indulge or work with an Instagram famous yoga teacher. A quick recap of these five questions. How did they become Instagram famous? Are they largely known for one thing or one niche alone that they call yoga? Do they ever mention their own yoga teachers and what they learned from them? Are they using the algorithm and the latest political happenings and festivals to educate you? Are you really following a yoga teacher or just someone who's good at marketing? So that's the first part of this conversation and the most important part. The second part is questions that you can ask the yoga teacher that you potentially will work with. Now, I've just compiled a few questions here to give you a head start. Okay. And if you have more questions, you know, you can always find me on Instagram and ask for advice on verifying some of your teachers. But a few questions you can ask the yoga teachers are, I can't find any information online about your teachers or your relationship with your teachers in school. Can you please share a little more and tell me about your educational background and yoga studies? The second question you can ask them are things like, what did you do before teaching yoga? What made you give that up? And why did you take on yoga full time? Right? Most people will take on yoga full time in modern yoga only if they really see a path to financial success. A yoga teacher shouldn't hide that from you. Okay. If they really transition to yoga full time and they had a previous life career before that, right? Like, what was it? Basically, you're looking for transparency. Then you can also ask them, do you have a niche in yoga? If yes, when and why did you create this? Okay. When and why is important because you want to make sure the niche isn't something that was born because of the events of 2020. Okay. You want to make sure that the niche is something that is really authentic to yoga itself. You can also ask, I'm looking to learn the yogic perspective on life. Is this something that is covered in your course or is it your perspective that you're sharing? Okay. And I don't know if this question will really go down well, but I think this question is more for you to drive clarity to you that often people sell their own opinions and perspective and their own interpretations of yoga than actually yogic teachings. Okay. It's not easy to teach yoga and the philosophy of yoga. So if someone is overly simplifying it and saying yoga is this and that, that is always a red flag. Okay. And then check for yoga teachers. This is not a question. This is just a note for you. Check for yoga teachers who are not on social media. And that's hard. That's really hard. You have to ask teachers who you trust to lead you to other teachers. Okay. And not the most credible yoga teachers are often not even on social media. And so don't let this world of Instagram yoga, TikTok yoga define yoga for you. Okay. So there you have it. Just a list of five questions to ask yourself mainly, and then a few questions to ask your yoga teachers. Remember, being in the presence of a yoga teacher it's meant to be nourishing and enriching and life-altering and life-enhancing. And if you constantly feel the need to fight your way through yoga, and if your teachers that you follow are constantly just fighting their way through yoga, something is off. Okay. Yoga is meant to take you deeper inward and not outward. Yoga doesn't rely on the latest political news cycle or anything else. Yoga doesn't rely on capitalism. Okay. And for us to be, it's up to us to be conscious, vigilant yoga seekers. And that honestly sometimes includes putting on blinders in the online yoga world and realizing that social media and Instagram famous yoga teachers are a tiny, tiny and often insignificant part of yoga. You can discover some people through this medium. But remember, not everything you see online is actually yoga. Okay, so I'm just hoping that having this conversation with you on the podcast will help you verify your yoga teachers so you can really grow in your yoga without ever being led in the wrong direction only to unlearn years later. As always, thank you for listening to the very end of this podcast. If you are a regular listener and you listen all the way to the end, thank you. It always means a lot when you do. And please remember to rate and review this podcast. And if you have any questions about things we've discussed, you can find me on Instagram at Arundhati Bait Mangalkar. I look forward to all the little conversations we have about the podcast and the things you share, especially those of you who screenshot it and share the best parts of the podcast episode. It really is one of the highlights of my week. Okay. Thank you. As always, I'll see you next week. Until then, enjoy your practice. Take care. Bye-bye.